you can no longer live here, get out. Their persecution was, if you stay here, you'll be arrested, tortured, killed. And many of those Christians said, that's fine with me, so be it. And so as they left, exiled from the place they thought was home, kicked out by a group of people that they may have at once thought were their friends, rejected by people within the new communities that they existed in, wondering, God, this makes no sense. I'm even beginning to wonder, did they question their own salvation? Man, this is miserable. Am I doing something wrong? This is awful. What did I do to deserve this? Things are so bad and this persecution is so fierce. Have I missed something? I even begin to wonder, do they feel saved? You know, at times, people may not feel saved. Maybe because of the suffering they face as Christians. But here's what I want you to do. Try and put yourself into the mind of these Christians in 1 Peter. And I want you to watch how the Spirit guides Peter to cause those Christians to take a step back from their suffering, to evaluate their situation, but in reality, to come to understand more fully the nature of God. And as they seek to understand the nature of God, watch how it completely reorients their minds. It changes them from the inside out. It's not God conforming to us, but watch as these people attempt, through Spirit inspiration of Peter, to be conformed more closely to the image of God. Hope you have your Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to talk a lot about the nature of God, but I also want you to see the reality for mankind, as is seen in 1 Peter. I wonder if they didn't feel saved. They were called elect exiles in verse 1. In verses 6 through 7, it was talking about the trials, the fiery trials that they faced. That was their suffering and their persecution. It was testing them. Testing them. A crucible to see what are the true characteristics of the Christian. And it doesn't even make sense at first, according to verse 7. Because the test of their genuineness, the genuineness of their faith, watch this, more precious than gold, though that perishes, though it's tested by fire, this test, what does it result in, verse 7? That it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How is this possible? I wonder if those Christians were thinking, how is this possible? And how do you call this salvation? You know, Peter wouldn't have had to write this letter in this way if those Christians weren't thinking certain thoughts about the subjects that he speaks, suffering and salvation. What if they were wondering, this is salvation? This is what it means to be Christian? Yes. I believe these Christians needed a reminder that God gives us a purpose for the pain. That in the nature of God, he calls humanity to rise above what we think is logical or what we think makes sense and be conformed to his image, which means this. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, when Jesus said, blessed are you when you're persecuted, when others revile you, when they speak against you and your Lord. Blessed are you. God, that doesn't make sense. But the nature of God is calling humanity to rise above and to be conformed to his image. Count it joy, my brothers, when you face these various trials and tribulations. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rather, verse 13, be happy in it. Rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering. The nature of God is to call humanity to rise above what we think makes sense and be conformed into the image of Jesus. And here's the image. Jesus suffered for the glory and the honor of God the Father, for the salvation of mankind. And so when we face suffering, and when those Christians faced suffering, it was all for the glory and for the honor of God the Father. So that, yes, it may not make sense for their salvation in the moment, but that doesn't negate the reality of it. What will make sense is in the reward of the suffering. That God gives a purpose for the pain, and what's coming is a reward for those who live righteously and faithfully, even in the midst of such suffering. These Christians needed to reorient their mind. In biblical verbiage, it's called an eschatological perspective. What's that mean? Think about the end. Unfortunately, 5-year-olds have to go to the well child clinic and they have to get their kindergarten shots. And we experienced that this past week. And it was miserable. Way more for me, I think, than him. I'm trying not to let him know I'm talking about him right now. Why, the question was asked. Why do we have to do this? Why do other kids have to do this? Afterwards, the question was even asked, will my brother have to do this in a couple of years? We all recognize that in these situations, what might seem painful and is painful in the moment will actually bring about great results in the future. This pain might actually be necessary and helpful for what is coming about through that pain and that suffering. God has painted that reality for those of us who call ourselves Christians, who have been bought, who have been brought into a relationship with the Father through Jesus the Christ. The reality is we face these sufferings and these trials for the purpose of what God will bring through them. And these Christians needed a reorientation of their mind. And as they gained that reorientation with future heaven-centered thoughts, the pain now, through persecution, would be reoriented in their mind to the gain then through the grace of God. Because of Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. You know, my citizenship isn't here. My citizenship is in heaven. And think about those Christians in Peter that he was talking to, those who were in the dispersion. If they were to read a sentence and they were to accept a reality that my citizenship doesn't belong to the city in which I live, it doesn't belong to the country in which I live, those people who were kicked out of their homes, who are wondering, where is my home? Where do I belong? Think about those people, if they were to grasp onto and really hold onto this reality that my citizenship isn't on earth, but rather in heaven, what do you think that would do for them? How would that provide peace and hope, future-centered thinking hope? Oh, it would be everything. You see, that's what God does. God gives us a purpose for the pain. God gives us grace in time of need. And I believe it starts with the reorientation of our mind. Someone said last Wednesday night in Bible class, God works to change our minds. And as He changes our minds, the way we see this world changes. It's different, which causes us to live a changed life and to be different. So as those Christians were to reorient their minds, of rejoicing and suffering, of even though they don't see God, they love Him. And now not seeing God, they believe in Him. And in Him they hope and they glory and they rejoice with the joy, according to verse 8, that is inexpressible and it's filled with glory. Why? To obtain the outcome of their faith, the salvation of their souls, verse 9. With this reorientation of their mind, they live with all hope placed fully on the grace that will be brought to them at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13. Here's what I want to do biblically. I try to talk about verses 6 through 9. Now I'm going to skip down to verses 13, close to 21. I'm going to finish back up in verses 10 to 12. Does that make sense biblically? That's where I'm going. Here's the reorientation of your mind. Therefore, verse 13, prepare your minds for action. Christianity is mental transformation. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And be sober-minded. Christianity is mental transformation. Hey guys, listen to me for a second. Christianity is not about making sure you do the right thing all the time and all your actions are done correctly as a checklist of commands that you've got to fulfill. God wants to change your life, change your heart, change your mind. As your life and your heart and your mind are changed, the way you live will take care of itself. Prepare your minds for action. And being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You change your mind, you change your life. Watch how you change your life in verse 14. So as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. How do you set your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ? If I want to have a future-centered thought process where heaven is my focus, the future realities and the reward of God will be what I center myself upon. How do I do that? You don't fall back to the ignorant you used to be. Those Christians didn't need to fall back to their former ignorance. What may have been their former ignorance? Could it have been the case that they lived within a culture that thought this: if I'm suffering or facing trials, well, I deserve it, and something is bad in my life? That was probably the case back then. Because of this bad thing, because of this suffering, because of this persecution, clearly something is off that I need to fix. Well, that would have been the former ignorance. Their suffering and their trials and their persecution was centered on the faith that they were living out. And if they were to fall back into their former ignorance, they might be thinking, well, because of all these hardships, I need to change what I'm doing and be different than who I currently am. But if they were to reset and reorient their minds and accept this reality that no. The culture has it off. Sufferings and trials and hardships doesn't mean that you're not doing something right. As a Christian, it probably means... I said that wrong. I just realized that I said that wrong. My fault. Can I just start over for just a second? Not the whole sermon, but just like the last minute. Sorry. So the culture has it wrong. That just because I'm suffering, facing trials or persecution, it doesn't mean that I'm doing something wrong. That's it. As a Christian, it probably means I'm doing something right. Why? Because the world will reject people of faith. Cultures don't like people of God oftentimes. We stand up, we speak out, we live like Christ, we reject the cultural norms that are being thrown in our faces. To reorient your mind to the mind of Christ means that as the suffering and trials and persecutions happen, we rejoice in them. Why? Because we're probably doing something like Christ did. And God will reward us because of it, through the grace in Jesus. They didn't need to fall back into their former ignorance with that thought process. They didn't need to fall back into their former ignorance that life should just be simple and easy. Now that you're a Christian, oh, it's just going to be a cakewalk. Because it's not. Living by faith means suffering because of faith. Because Christ walked through it first. Here's the reality of man. The reorientation of the mind, setting our hope fully on the grace that will be revealed to us, brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is this, that God is for you. He's not against you. God is faithful in His nature to us, and that God provides for us in the midst of our suffering. That is a reality that we must accept. The reality is that this world doesn't accept people of faith. We don't belong here. We're not made for here. And the culture that is promoted here doesn't align with what we want. Pain through faith means gain through grace one day. He tried to get these Christians to reorient their minds. And as they did so, their lives were changed. Reorient your mind, verse 13. Don't step back into your former ignorance, verse 14. But rather, verse 15. As He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. For it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That like a lamb without spot or blemish. How do we set our hope fully on the grace that we brought to us at the revelation of Jesus? You don't fall back to your former ignorance. You continually reorient your mind to that of Christ. You understand that God is faithful and will provide, but that also God is an impartial judge. He sees each one. Where you are, who you are, and what you are on the inside. God will not be fooled. He cannot be tricked or duped as we act outwardly, but rotten and corroded inwardly. He is an impartial judge. He's fair. He's just. He's right. And it's to Him we entrust our souls and the eternal home that's coming. As these Christians did this, seeing their circumstances, trying to understand the reorientation of their mind in the midst of the sufferings and the trials and the persecutions, I wonder if Peter, wanted them to be reminded of how God has shaped everything for their good. And as we see that for those Christians, watch how it's also true for us today. So now we're going to jump back up to verse 10. Look at this. How could this be salvation? I wonder if those Christians were thinking. Verse 10. Well, concerning this salvation, that is the outcome of their faith, verse 9, the salvation of their souls. Concerning this salvation, the salvation that God has brought, the salvation that God is working through their suffering and their persecution, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Watch this. God has shaped history for our salvation. There were groups of people that were moved by the Spirit to speak about a future coming of a Messiah that would save all mankind from sin. The Bible says that prophets prophesied, they inquired carefully, they searched and they desired to know the coming realities of this Messiah. Now it's very interesting in the original language in verse 10 when it says the prophets who prophesied. There's no article there before the prophets. So it's not just one specific prophet or even one little group of prophets, but all prophets. It's a generic meaning, a generic term, the entirety of those who were prophets. All of these historical people looked forward to, spoke forward about, and they even tried to search and inquire about what was coming. Why? Because it was going to be so great. They wanted it. They searched for it. It even says that they inquired about the time and the manner of time in which this person was going to come, who he was, when he was coming, what he would be like. Their entire mindset was set upon what that future will hold. Do you see how God has even shaped history for the future and the coming of Christ, all for the salvation of mankind? He shaped history. He even shaped humanity. The existence in which we live is one that's not easy. You know, it's interesting to me that we're brought into the world through suffering and pain, are we not? We grow as people through suffering and pain. Has anybody had growing pains as a child? And as we stop growing physically, your body starts to be pained even more, doesn't it? You know, it's like I hit 30, then all of a sudden this little spot right here started aching every morning. I don't know if anybody in here knows what that's like at all. Isn't it interesting? We're brought into the world via pain. We grow through pain, and we exist and experience pain for the rest of our life. But it's not just physically. Emotionally, we face pains. I watched a series just this past week where this mom chose, and the dad, not to go into the room to the baby who's trying to cry it out for the first time. Now, I don't know what your parenting style is. You may not be that person that let the kids cry it out, but we got there. Oh, yeah, got there pretty quick. Had to. But that baby, you know, it grew through that suffering. We grow physically through suffering. We grow mentally and emotionally through suffering. What do you want every child to face in their years? You want them to face failure. You want them to face rejection. Why? You grow through those experiences. You want them to have the other things, but you also realize they grow mentally and emotionally through suffering. As an adult, some of the greatest things you've ever gone through are probably also the hardest things you've ever gone through. Why? You grow through suffering. We grow physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally through suffering. The greatest thing a married couple can do is wrestle and work through their hardships. I'm not going to call it fights, but maybe so. Because it causes growth within the relationship. Why is it the case? Listen to me. Listen. That if we grow physically through suffering, mentally, emotionally through suffering, relationally through suffering, why is it that when as a Christian we face suffering, people all of a sudden say this, why God? When we know that in every other arena of life, it's the best thing for us. We also grow spiritually through suffering. You see, God has shaped the existence of mankind to grow through suffering. That's why he can call it joy. And that's why the Spirit inspired Peter to say, rejoice in this. Why? Because you're living like Christ. He shaped history. He shaped humanity. God has shaped heaven for us. I want to jump back up to verse 4. We've been born again. Born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's the end of verse 3. Our rebirth, our new life is all because of Jesus. All by the grace of God, by His power. He adds us, He saves us, He keeps us. Verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, it's undefiled, it's unfading, watch this, kept in heaven for you. God has shaped history for salvation. God has shaped humanity for salvation. God has shaped heaven as the reward in salvation. Now you reorient your mind to these things and the sufferings that you face will be dulled. I think they'll shorten. But better than all those things, we will be empowered to give glory, honor, and praise to Almighty God who has shaped all things for our good. There's a song we listen to on the way to worship most Sunday mornings. And I want to conclude with these lyrics. They go like this. Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. Well, you start to believe you don't have what it takes. Because it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead. We're almost home. Brother, it won't be long. And soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild, run free. Hold up your head, keep pressing on. We are almost home. Well, this road will be hard, but we win in the end. Simply because of Jesus in us. It's not if, but when. And so take joy in the journey, even when it feels long. Oh, find strength in each step, knowing heaven is cheering you on. We're almost home. Brother, it won't be long. And soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild, run free. Hold up your head, keep pressing on. We are almost home. Listen to this. I know that the cross has brought heaven to us. But make no mistake, there's still more to come. When our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're meant to be. When all that's been lost has been made whole again. When these tears and this pain no longer exist. No more walking, we're running as fast as we can. Consider this. This is our second wind. Because we're almost want to help you on your way home. But today, we get to praise the God who's given us a home. We get to worship the God who has worked this entire existence of humanity out for our home. He's even shaped history for it, for you. If you need God to help you in your journey, please allow Him today. Don't let fear, embarrassment, nerves, or anxieties hold you back any longer. You know what it feels like to be set free. And that's the power of God through Jesus Christ. That's setting your hope on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you need Him, God gives freely. And if you just need help, God wants to add you. If you're lost in sin, God wants to save you, forgive you by the blood of Christ. Whatever you need, God can provide. That's the wonder of our Lord. Just let it be known to your spiritual family today. Let's stand up and let's continue in worship as we sing this song together.